Today on More to Life, growing godly kids. Are you wondering how to raise faithful, godly kids? Well, we're going to help you with real strategies that work. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, growing godly kids. If you're wondering how to raise faithful kids in an increasingly faithless world, we are here for you today on More to Life. We want to present proven strategies. Now, saying that doesn't mean that there are any silver bullets or guarantees, but...
Because we've got that little problem with things like free will.
Free will, you know.
Concupiscence. They're all part of the parenting and family situation as well. But these proven strategies really will help you achieve your goals to raise godly kids.
Well, regular listeners know that we, in the last year, sponsored a study through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown University, where we actually interviewed families who successfully raised all of their kids to a faithful adulthood. Now that's remarkable because other research shows that we're actually losing 85% of kids raised in Catholic households. 85% of Catholic kids will leave the church before they become adults.
And not come back, usually. And that's terrifying. And a lot of us are saying, well, it's okay. We'll do our best at home, but we're sending them to Catholic school, and we're sending them to youth group, and that'll work. And unfortunately, that's not always working.
Well, no. In fact, the research really shows that what matters most is how we live our faith in the home. And specifically, how our faith is experienced by our kids as the source of the warmth in our homes. The degree to which anything else sticks, including regular sacramental participation, Catholic school, youth ministry, all the rest, really depends on how much our kids are experiencing the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes.
And that is really scary to so many of us, because no home is perfect. No home is consistently warm. No home consistently lives the faith in a way that really resonates with our kids or even us sometimes. It is a challenge. The great news is you don't have to be 100% perfect. You don't have to do everything perfectly. But if you employ certain things that are pretty much in about 12 different steps, you can really not only really up the chances that your children will be faithful people now and through adulthood and raise your grandkids Catholic, but also that you will have a happier, healthier, holier home for you and your family right now. And if that sounds like something that you'd like a little help with, if you're having struggles pop up in your mind as we speak, well, pick up the phone, dial 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And let's help you with the stumbling blocks that are arising in your mind right now. 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you struggling to raise faithful kids? To help them see the faith as a relationship with God instead of just rules to follow? Are difficulties with discipline wearing you out? How can you help your kids not just stop being bad or doing bad things, but actually want to be good and work for it on their own? Are you worried about the influence that social media or peers or the culture is having on your kids? Or for that matter, do you have adult children who've fallen away from the faith and you're wondering what you could do to bring them back or be that positive influence in their lives? Whatever questions you have about raising good, godly kids, we want to help you at every age and stage. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
And I know, Greg, that you and I both came into the faith in very different ways. And I experienced the faith as a very young child, did not have it for most of my growing up years, and then was really brought back into it in a very full way through a youth group leader. You were raised in kind of the family we're talking about today and experienced, you know, the Holy Spirit at a very young age and remained faithful for the rest of your life. So we're not saying that it has to be a cookie-cutter way. The Holy Spirit, God, can work in every human's life wherever we allow him to work. But the more we can cooperate with that grace as parents and family, the more likely it is that we will all flourish in the grace of God.
Well, you know, and I want to point out here that raising godly kids doesn't mean that your family has to be perfect either.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, it bears repeating.
So you said, you know, you pointed to my upbringing, mm-hmm, right, and how I really encountered the Lord very early in my life and really maintained that faith throughout. But I was sharing with a friend the other day, you know, a story from when I was probably about 7 or 8. And at that time, my parents were going through a kind of a rough patch, and they were arguing a lot. And as a little kid, you know, it kind of intimidated me. And my mom, you know, would kind of threaten to leave or get a divorce. And I was just really so upset about all that. And I remember one time I was in my bedroom and I heard them fighting in their bedroom. And I was terrified that my mom would gonna leave, right? Yeah. And so I got my little army helmet on that I had, my toy army helmet, and I had a toy howitzer cannon, a little plastic cannon that shot like plastic shells.
Wow!
And I stood outside. I went out of my room and I with my army helmet and my little cannon, and I stood outside their bedroom door because I wasn't going to let mom go.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
And I tell that story not to disparage my parents in any way. Like they like any other couple, they had their issues and they worked through their stuff. And I'm grateful for the childhood that I had, and the faith that they gave me. But my point is, in sharing that story, you don't have to have a perfect family to raise faithful kids. It's about how you approach those challenges and how you approach those difficulties. And my parents did teach me how to pray through those things and how to come back from those kinds of arguments and the kind of tension. And that was a big part of why I stayed faithful, because I saw God really moving in their marriage and in our family life. And I saw the faith as the source of the warmth in our home and the thing that got them through those difficulties. So I just wanted to put that out there as a way of saying, you know, you don't have to have that perfect, idyllic, always peaceful home with no problems to do the kinds of things we're talking about today.
And you don't have to come from that either. You know, you were talking about your parents' struggles, but my home, I mean, my mother did her best, but she was not a person of faith, and there was a lot of stuff going on in that home. But God was still present for me in moments, and I was able to continually seek him, sometimes because of the stress in our home. So wherever you are, if you're thinking, I can't do this, wasn't raised with this, don't know how to do this, or we're just really struggling right now, we are here for you. Give us a call today, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And we might be wondering, well, how could any theology help me be a confident parent and raise godly kids? Well, I'm glad you asked. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked this kind of huge question. He said, you know, if we looked at everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all the rest of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that Christian family life isn't just a private matter. It's actually a mission. The church teaches that Christian families are domestic churches, which are outposts of grace in a hurting world. and the primary place where faith is learned, lived, and passed on. Parenting isn't just about managing schedules and keeping kids out of trouble. It's a ministry, a sacred calling to form disciples of Christ.
Well, exactly. You know, many parents feel like they're not really serving God unless they're volunteering at the parish or doing community work, and those things are important. But St. John Paul was clear. The primary way that Catholic parents build the kingdom of God is by strengthening their marriage and family life. You know, being a Christian is all about learning how to love others, not with our broken human love, but with a generous, healing love that flows from God's own heart. And when we do our best to live that out at home, we heal the wounds that sin causes in our relationships, and our family becomes a visible sign of God's love in the world.
And that's the foundation of what St. John Paul called the civilization of love. The Church tells us that that Catholic families are meant to be building blocks of a just and godly society. But we can't build a healthy church or a just world with crumbling bricks. Our kids learn faith not just from what we say, but from how we love each other in our day-to-day lives, and by making our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Right. Well, when parents embrace parenting as their primary mission, they feel empowered to prioritize connection over busyness. And that creates space for God's grace to form our children into confident, faithful disciples, ready to carry the mission of love into the world. And that's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. Give us a call with your parenting questions on our show titled Growing Godly Kids. Are you wondering how to raise faithful, virtuous kids in an increasingly faithless, unvirtuous world?
Mm-hmm.
877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring you our families, our kids in particular, at every age and stage, whether they are littles or adult kids. We ask you, Lord, to help us know how to be the parents that they need us to be, the parents you want us to be able to convey your love to our children and to raise them to be godly disciples, carrying your love and grace to the world. Help us overcome the challenges that we face, the struggles we face internally with our own sense of incompetence and a lack of confidence. Help us to bring you into every interaction with our children, so that you can lead and guide us through the hurdles and over the difficulties, and use everything in family life, the good stuff, the bad stuff, and everything in between, as an opportunity to get to learn to love you better and to introduce our children to your love even more. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Growing Godly Kids. If you're wondering how to raise faithful, good, virtuous kids at every age and stage, including dealing with those adult kids who might be struggling a bit or having fallen away, we want to help you be the parent God's calling you to be and bring those kids to God. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Sarah, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Guadalupe Radio, has an interesting question. She said, when my husband has a rough day at work, he comes home in a grumpy, nasty mood. I understand that he's exhausted and discouraged, but the kids and I have missed him, and he doesn't act happy to see us at all. I feel like I have to walk on eggshells to try to make things pleasant for him once he comes home. But our kids are feeling disappointed and confused and starting to show angry behavior. And I have to deal with everyone's negative feelings plus my own frustration. There doesn't seem to be warmth in our home once my husband comes home, and I don't have a clue what to do about it. What can I do? And that's Sarah in Virginia.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for the question. And you don't say whether you've discussed this with him at all yet. So that's going to be the first step, is kind of bringing it to his attention. But the question is how?
Yes.
How do you bring it up in a way that doesn't make him feel defensive or attacked?
Exactly, because most of us, when we think we have to bring something up, if our spouses are in a good mood, we don't want to trouble the waters. If they're in that mood that, Sarah, you're describing right now, when he's frustrated and cranky, our reaction is to bring it up then. First of all, not a good idea. He's not thinking clearly. And B, we're going to bring it up in an angry or accusatory way. So how does one start that process, Greg, without falling into those two pitfalls?
Well, I think first you begin with empathizing and saying, you know, listen, I know how hard the days can be for you at work, and how frustrating you, how frustrated you can feel by the end of it. And I want to be able to be here to support you in that, and I want to be able to help you get whatever it is that you need to kind of reset. And at the same time, I want to help you be able to reconnect with us when you get home, because right now what's happening is you just feel so burned out and frustrated that you end up accidentally sending the message to me and the kids that you don't really want to be here. And I know that's not how you feel. So you're empathizing, you're giving him some ways to save face by, you know, saying, look, I know that's not your intention, because it's probably not his intention, right? But you're also validating the fact that it's hard. So the suggestion I would make in terms of the practical thing to do is to create some kind of transition, either that he can do himself or that the two of you can do together. Some examples. Stopping by the church on the way home to just kind of have him bring his day to God and all those concerns, and just sort of, you know, vent his heart to God, whether, you know, if there's nobody else in the church, by talking to God there or by writing it out in a journal as he's there.
And I have to say, there are a lot of times when I've tried to go and visit the Blessed Sacrament, spend some time in church, and the church is locked up because Father can't be there to protect it. And I've sat outside the church in my car and said, Lord, I know you're in there. I'm as close as I can get right now. I need you to be here for me right now. So don't let him just say, oh, well, it's not open and I can't do that, because it God really does care when you put in the effort to show up.
Another example of a transition ritual is a little call between the two of you before he leaves, or you know, on his way home, where he can, you know, he can tell you what support he needs or what's going on in the day, how frustrating it was. You can be there for him. You can be there for each other. I mean, it's a good opportunity for you to talk about the frustrations in your day and let him be there for you. This isn't just about you helping him. It's about you being there for each other. In fact, you can do both of these things, right? But the point is, you can't just say to him, don't be grumpy when you come home. You have to brainstorm together ways to manage that transition from a stressful day at work to home. So creating some kind of transition that allows him to process that stress before he walks through the door, or allows the two of you to show up for each other in the middle of that stress before he comes home, is a really good way to get out of the habit of just kind of coming home and unloading on everybody. And when I say that, I don't mean yelling or screaming, but even just being grumping and pouting.
Or withdrawing, not being around the kids when the kids are all running to him and being like, Daddy's home, and then he kind of rejects them and pushes them away. The other task I'm going to add to that is the possibility of coming up together on a weekend, maybe when he's doing better, of things that you all like to do after dinner, and letting him pick one or two of those things that he can handle that night, so the kids know what to expect. Oh, we're just going to read together as a family, or we're all going to take a walk, or we're going to watch a movie together, or Dad said I had a pretty good day, so he really wants to, like, get out and, you know, have some fun, and we're going to go out to the park and run around. Just so you guys have a sense of where the night is going, and so do the children, so that the expectations are managed.
And that
for
question can be part of that transition call that, yeah, I mentioned before he,
yeah, once you have that kind of list to go from.
How do you want the evening to go, and how you can be there for each other? All right, well, those are some suggestions. We actually talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, This Stress is Driving Me Nuts, Finding Balance Through God's Grace. Again, that's God Help Me, This Stress. Actually, it's God Help Me, This Stress is Driving Me Crazy.
There you go.
Finding Balance Through God's Grace. You can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Well, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your questions about growing godly kids today on More to Life. And when we are rejoined, we will be talking with Father Thomas Loya, who will be sharing some insights from his ministry on this very topic. So stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877 877- 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Growing Godly Kids, as we talk about proven strategies to raise faithful, virtuous kids. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He is a pastor, a counselor, an expert on the theology of the body. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Always great being here.
Well, thank you. And you wanted to share something that you teach your parishioners, your clients, the idea of a family covenant as a way of helping to form godly families and raise godly kids. What does that involve?
Yes, I find, Dr. Greger, that a lot of families don't really have an idea, like a vision of what family life is supposed to be, according to the theology of the body, and, you know, the Catholic, the sacramental way. They don't quite have a vision, they're sort of reacting, getting through the day and so on, bumping into each other and all that. So what I do is I tell them, look, get three post-it notes. You're going to need three post-it notes, a larger kind, and then two models. The one model is the Holy Trinity, the icon of the Holy Trinity, which is kind of like the icon of the theology of the body, because it shows the three persons of the Trinity kind of bowing their heads to each other in what I call deferential love, deference. That's going to be the model. The second model is the Holy Family. So take the first post-it note out, and as a family, sit down and start to imagine, put down in detail, just as much as you can, what do you think a day in the life of the Holy Family was like? I mean, down to the any kind of detail. Just imagine, just brainstorm, imagine what it was like, how they're relating, what they're doing, so on. Then take a second post-it note and describe your household. And I don't mean just the bad or what's wrong, the tensions, everything. Everything that's good, everything that's difficult, just describe your household. You're going to try to, the idea is to try to get those two to match up as close as possible. And for that, you're going to take the third post-it note. That's going to be the family covenant. You're all going to buy into this. We're going to develop now like a family covenant vision. How do we get the two post-it notes to line up closer? In other words, how do we get our household to be more like the Holy Family, more like the icon of the Trinity of where we practice deferential love? And everybody has to buy into that. And you do it together, so you create that common vision, and you put it up there on the wall or on the refrigerator or whatever, and you're going to live by that. You're going to encourage each other, not point fingers, not say, not just reminding each other, you're not living up to it. Try to encourage each other to live up to what is on this third post-it note. In other words, your family covenant. So you have an actual vision of what family life is supposed to be, and then how to be that way in detail, and I can help them with that. But that's a little technique that I offer for families to create that domestic church, especially if they're having some tensions in communication and so on. And it's very much in the theology of the body, especially the icon of the Trinity, deferential of how do we defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the key, how to live deferential lives, deferential communication, deferential love.
I love that, and it's so important to keep in mind. And I also have this reflection as you're speaking, because a lot of us who were together for the EWTN conference this year, it was in D.C., we were at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and there is this statue of the Holy Family that many of our listeners will know, but I'll describe it briefly. It's the Holy Family that are resting on the flight to Egypt. They are just exhausted. Joseph, Mary, baby Jesus, and the donkey are all just like laying there on a rock, wiped out. And it changes your image of the perfection of the Holy Family, because while they were incredibly deferential to each other, while they were dealing with all that grace in their existence, life was still hard for them. And to see that image and know we don't have to be perfect, we have to be loving to each other as God is in the Trinity, as the Holy Family was, and we can take practical steps to make that happen and invite God's grace into our lives to be with us as God was with the Holy Family.
Yeah, Lisa, remember the Jesus got lost at one time. Remember Joseph and Mary were upset? And sometimes I'll even use that as a specific. Imagine, okay, what was their dialogue? What did they say to each other? Did they blame each other? Or did they work together, share their anxiety, share their fear, and then go about it? I know, how did they, that was a family crisis. How did they solve that crisis?
Well, Father Loy, I want to thank you for offering us that template for creating a family covenant. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about your ministry, they can go to taborlife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, taborlife.org. Listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 on the topic Growing Godly Kids. Parenting questions, questions about raising faithful kids in a faithless world? Give us a call.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, The Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, growing godly kids. Are you wondering how to raise faithful, virtuous kids in an increasingly faithless world? We're going to help you with proven strategies that work. And whether you are a parent or a grandparent or someone who is taking care of kids in some capacity, we want to help you feel more confident in your job and more capable to raise kids who love the Lord and who don't just avoid bad behavior, but really want to be good. It's possible, and let us help you learn how to do that. In fact, a lot of the tips we're talking about on today's program are things that we talk about every day on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And on the Catholic Home app, we provide daily coaching to all of our subscribers who've got parenting questions about discipline, about living their faith at home, about overcoming the various challenges that we all face as Catholic parents and building a loving, connected family life and raising godly, faithful kids. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches from CatholicCounselors.com are on the Catholic Home app, interacting with subscribers every day, giving them answers to their questions and ongoing coaching to help them overcome those hurdles. Plus, we are providing tons of creative resources like monthly downloadable activities, exclusive podcast content, DIY videos, and a professionally animated cartoon series you can watch with your kids on how to build a dynamic domestic church. All that and a whole lot more comes with a Catholic Home subscription, and you can get 2 months free with when you choose the annual plan for just $149, or go month to month for $14.95. One subscription covers both parents and gives all your kids access to all the activities. And so we would love to walk with you in your parenting journey. And I hope that you become a Catholic Home subscriber today. By the way, this Thursday, tomorrow, we are hosting our monthly Catholic Home Live Q&A.
I'm excited. It's my
all
favorite night of the month.
All of our subscribers come together to share their stories, to get support, to ask questions, and really just meet other families who are living the faith and, you know, really working hard to do exactly what we're talking about on today's show. So if you're interested in doing that, that's free to all of our subscribers. It's included with the membership. So you can become part of the Catholic Home family by downloading Catholic H-O-M wherever you get your apps. And joining us Thursday evening at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central.
I love that meeting. Every month we get together, and it's like having everybody over to our house and just kicking back and really talking about what it takes to be a great Catholic family, to feel great about yourself as parents, grandparents, family together. And we all have a chance to just kick back and do that. People show up in their pajamas, in the middle of their dinner, out gardening with their phone. It's very laid
from
back.
Practice,
but it,
you know,
yeah, a lot of that. And it really helps everyone be encouraged and less alone. So join us tomorrow night by becoming a member of the Catholic Home app.
So check it out, Catholic H-O-M, Households on Mission, wherever you get your apps. We hope to see you there. That we are taking your calls right now about parenting and growing godly kids. The number is 877-573-7825. Are you struggling to raise faithful kids, to help them see the faith as not just a bunch of rules to follow, but as a real relationship with God? You know, are difficulties with discipline wearing you out? Or maybe you have adult kids who have fallen away or that you're concerned about, and you're not sure how to mentor them or have conversations with them that they're willing to hear about faith and values. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Katie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Katie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I am a grateful mother of seven little ones. Our oldest is 13. And we decided it was best for our kids to pull them out of the parochial schools. And this was a couple of years ago. They're a part of a great Catholic co-op now. But our 13-year-old is starting to really resist. Our younger ones, they are very on fire with their faith. and it's beautiful to see. But our 13-year-old boy is just not feeling it. He and I, we will have heart to heart, and he just is, just does not really sense anything. And my husband, he is the leader as far as faith goes, and he tries to pull my son along, but he
doesn't really sense. I'm sorry, let me just ask a clarifying question here. So when you say doesn't really sense anything, you mean he doesn't feel God's presence when he prays, or what do you mean by that?
He's just very annoyed, for lack of better terms.
Annoyed with what?
About faith. For all of the prayers going on in the household, we have tried just different things. Like currently we're doing, is it a 56-day or 54-day novena for the rosary. And he serves at the parish or in our church.
Okay, so let me just kind of frame this, and you may be doing this already, but I just want to. So the more formal prayers of the church are meant to teach us how to take our personal prayer life deeper, how to take our conversational prayer deeper. So, for example, when I pray, if I'm just praying to God from my heart, I might be bringing particular concerns or things from my life, but I wouldn't necessarily think to pray about or reflect on the life of Christ like I do when I pray the rosary. Or, you know, when I'm praying the Our Father, the prayer that the Lord gave us, you know, I might not personally remember to, you know, ask for God's will to be done. I just want to tell God what I want, right? Mm-hmm. So those kinds of prayers are really important because they shape our conversational prayer, but it has to be based on that kind of conversational prayer. So where's he at in that kind of prayer in his life? Does he know how to talk to God as a person? Do you guys do that as a family?
You know, that's a really great question. So maybe to backtrack a little, I was not raised in the faith at all. And my husband, he is very, he's trying to really change the way that our family is compared to how he was raised. I mean, his family was very much just the Sunday Catholic family and nothing in between the dates. So he, in a sense, I mean, we're not trying to over cram it into our children, but we want to make it part of daily life.
Yeah, I love that. That intention is fantastic.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that you've been leaning more on those kind of
more formal
prayers as opposed to focusing more on a relational prayer life.
And let me just kind of like put this in a day-to-day context, okay? So if somebody asked you out on a date, okay, you would like go back to your single years, and some guy approached you and was just, hey, you know, how are you? Nice conversation. Got to know you a little bit. Then invited you out to coffee. Then, you know, maybe like walked you to your next class in college or, you know, invited you out with a group of friends. That would be getting to know him little by little by little. If another guy approached you to date you and showed up at your front door, and he had flowers, and he had candy, and he had a diamond ring, and he had, you would not feel comfortable. You would not know how to relate to that. It would cause you to shut down because it's a little much. For any human, no matter how old they are, but especially for our young ones who learn so much by relationship in the family life and relationship with their friends, that's how they learn to trust. That's how they learn to relate. That's how they learn to love. So maybe what your 13-year-old is picking up on, because so far your prayer life is very much focused on more formal prayers, which will help you go very deep in your life with Christ, in your prayer life with God. But it's coming off to him maybe as that guy showing up at the door with the flowers and the candy and the ring. It's putting him off because he doesn't really have that more personal, daily, conversational friendship and love with God yet.
Well, and the other thing, you know, when you say that your 13-year-old is not as on fire for his faith as the younger kids are, part of that comes from understanding that faith evolves through stages.
Yeah, very important.
So kids who are, say, about 6 to 10 are in this, what we call the stories and structures stage of faith. So faith evolves in stages, and kids need different spiritual food at different ages to be able to mature spiritually. So in that 6 to 10 stage, again, what we call kind of the stories and structures stage, kids really like learning how to be grown up. Mm-hmm. Right, and so they love serving at the altar. They love saying the prayers, even if they don't understand what the prayers are. They just like doing the grown up things and learning how to live. They like stories that help them know how to think about the world and how to think like grown ups and stuff. When you get to about 11 and higher, what you see is the kids move from that stories and structures stage of faith development to the relationship stage of faith development, where I believe that something is true because it facilitates my relationships with God, with the people in my life, or I know something is false, or I believe something is false, to the degree that I can't see how my faith feeds my relationships. So this idea, what this is really saying to me is that he knows the how to say the prayers, but what he's really saying is, I don't know God as a person, and I don't see how this prayer stuff is helping me build relationships or find out who I am.
And also... And I'm not telling you to stop doing this novena. It's a great novena to do. But he may be thinking, where do I fit into all of this? You know, when are these folks going to come up alongside of me and pray for the fact that I'm 13 and I need to figure out friendships and who I am and what I'm dealing with hormonally? Because everybody thinks that 13-year-old girls deal with hormones. 13-year-old boys are worse, and nobody gives them any props for it or any support. He's got a lot going on. So you don't have to stop doing the formal prayers. What you need to do is start praying with him, with each other as a family, about the personal stuff going on for all of you. So blessing him every morning, putting your hand on his head and asking God to be with him for all his concerns of the day.
We actually give a format for family prayer using the acronym PRAISE. The short version is P stands for praise and thanksgiving. R, so you're thanking God for the blessings of the day. R is repentance. That's not where you're like doing public confession or anything, but just asking for help with the little times that maybe you've not been the people that you want to be or that God's calling you to be. A is asking for your needs. I is interceding for others. S is seeking his will. So you're bringing the big questions about each other's, you know, concerns or your family decisions to God. And then E is ending by promising to listen, where you sort of wrap up by saying, you know, Lord, and help us to keep listening to your voice as we go about our day so that, you know, we can keep learning from you and keep up the conversation. So
and it's a guideline to help you bring all those different parts of your life as a family into your family prayer time. I recommend doing that perhaps right after dinner, where you're all fed, you're all more relaxed, and you can have that family time where you're really bringing your own hearts and concerns together. And also, a great practice, I strongly recommend this. We did this with all of our kids, and they all have an amazing relationship with God in their lives. Take 15 minutes a night and send everybody, including mom and dad, off to separate spaces. Nobody's bothering each other. And have everybody just talk to God and have a 15-minute prayer time.
You can use that same praise format for that, too.
And you can give them that or just say, go talk to God about your day. Just go listen to God. And they can do what they want to do. And then when you come back for that formal, more formal, structured, let's use the word structured prayer time using the praise format as a family. So do the 15 minutes before the family prayer. And then you can say, hey, does anybody want to share anything from their prayer time tonight? Anything you're struggling with, anything that God told you, they don't have to. It's a very personal thing. But as mom and dad begin to share some of those things, then the kids start to share some of those things. And everybody sort of has their spiritual ear open to God, listening for what God's leading them into with him.
We've given you some ideas, some insights on how to think about where he's at in his faith stage of development and ways to begin to nurture that more. But it's a lot to take in, and it is a shift in the way you've been approaching things. So to give you some additional resources as we have to wrap up the call, I'm going to encourage you to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, which talks about these different stages of faith and how to provide the right spiritual food at each stage, and also talks about how to create that kind of of relational prayer life that then can be taken deeper with structured and more formal prayer. So that's Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. But this is also the kind of thing that we deal with every day on the Catholic Home app, and that's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. So if you'd like to get ongoing coaching on this, get resources to really help you cultivate this kind of relational family prayer life.
Yeah, our resources will help your family, especially as a homeschooling family, so much. You'll be so grateful.
It's really worth it. I really encourage you to check out the Catholic Home app and just become a subscriber today so we can keep supporting you. I hope that we can continue the conversation there. But either way, I hope that you can run with these suggestions that we've made, and this gives you some perspective on kind of where your son is. You know, it's important, and this is just a public service announcement to not just to you, Katie, but to all of our listeners. Resistance is never a resistance. It's actually a message. It's saying, hey, there's a need that's not being met. I'm willing to do what you're asking me to do, but I don't know how to do it in a way that meets this need. And I think what your son is saying with his resistance to the prayer life and to the spirituality of your home is, I get all the prayer stuff, but I don't really get how this facilitates a really real relationship with God, or helps me in my relationships with other people, or helps me even with my relationship with myself, figuring out who I am. And having an identity in Christ. So these suggestions kind of move you in that direction, and then the additional resources of Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, and the Catholic Home app, I think, get you the rest of the way. Katie, you're doing a lot of beautiful things. You have beautiful heart, and you're really obviously on fire for the Lord. And thank you so much for your call. I'm grateful to you and your husband for your work raising a faithful family and the sincerity of your faith. And if we can do more to come alongside of you in any of this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through the Catholic HOM app. And with that, it's time for our scripture of the day as we head out to our break. It comes to us from Sirach chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Before we read this, I just want to put this out there. This is not in any way, this verse, meant to be taken as a condemnation for parents whose children have fallen away from the faith. You know, in Scripture, the different authors use different rhetorical devices, and this device is an exhortation, right? It's a challenge to parents who are raising kids to see the importance of their work. So with that in mind, the Sirach 16, verses 1 through 4.
Do not yearn for worthless children or rejoice in wicked offspring, even if they be many. Do not rejoice in them if they do not have fear of the Lord. For one is better than 1,000, and it is better to die childless than to have godless children.
Now again, this is not a condemnation of any parents whose children have fallen away. This is an exhortation to parents who are raising their kids to see how incredibly important it is to not just get caught up in navigating schedules and stopping our kids from doing obnoxious things. It's about realizing that the most important thing you can spend your time and energy on is learning how to lead those kids to God and have them fall in love with Him.
And I have to say, reading this now, when we have so many friends who have adult children, and their relationship with those adult children is A, strained, and B, strained more so because their children have no faith in God. The pain that folks who have that situation in their lives are experiencing is so heartbreaking. So heartbreaking. And so many people, as we were saying earlier, because 85% of the children we raise in the Catholic Church will not remain Catholic, about 85% of Catholic parents are experiencing the kind of pain that Sirach is speaking of here. And so the exhortation seems to also be a warning from parents with adult kids to parents who are starting out and saying, look, focus on raising them in the faith and giving them warm, faithful homes.
Amen. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. More to left. We'll continue with your calls in a minute.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, raising godly kids, as we talk about how to raise faithful, virtuous kids in an increasingly faithless world. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We want to make sure that we let you know that two of our great EWTN radio partners need to hear from you next week. Holy Family Radio, with four stations in Michigan, kicks off their fall pledge drive on Monday. And so does Stations of the Cross, with 18 stations serving New York, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, though, please keep your local EWTN radio station in your prayers, but also support them with your dollars so that we can keep supporting you and all the people that you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. So thank you, everybody who is responsible for making Catholic Radio possible, especially you, our listeners. You know, as we're heading into the final moments of the show, I just wanted to share with you, we've been talking about raising godly kids, and of course, we're concerned about our kids' eternal souls, but raising faithful kids actually benefits their psychological well-being as well. A recent study from Harvard followed thousands of youth into adulthood and discovered that those who attended weekly religious services and consistently practiced prayer in the home had significantly better mental health and fewer risky behaviors as they were growing up. You know, the reality is, feeling tied to a faith community, being part of a faithful family who isn't just going to church on Sunday, certainly doing that, but living their faith at home every day, is really a buffer against isolation and depression in youth, and other behavior problems that are associated with those things. The most important thing as parents that we can do, as we were sharing in our scripture from Sirach before the break, is lead our kids to God and have them not just see the faith as rules or certain formulas to say, but as a relationship with Christ who wants to teach them how to meet all of their needs in ways that are life-affirming and healthy and holy, that gives them a strong sense of identity as sons and daughters of God, because they've experienced the love of God for themselves and come to know God as a real person, the person who knows them best and loves them most. And if what we're saying to you here sounds good, but you're not sure how to do it, because let's face it, a lot of Catholics aren't raised to really experience God that way. But that is, for example, Pope Leo is talking a lot about the importance of a personal relationship with Christ, undergirding all the other things that we do as Catholics. And if you're not sure how to make that happen, then I'd encourage you to download the Catholic HOM app and learn how to build your Catholic home rooted on that kind of relational prayer that allows you to have that more loving, caring, connected family life. Of course, if you're looking for more personalized resources or you're dealing with slightly more serious concerns, we hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful professional counselor professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.